Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
For some time, I think we had forgotten about David Mabuse. I know I had. I hadn't really considered the value or the significance of our deputy president until last week, when all of a sudden we started to wonder what would happen if the president Cyril Ramaphosa stepped down and if David Mabuse were to take over. Well, it turns out that there certainly has been lots of rumors around him. I see that the EFF, Julius Malema, says it's all just rumor, nothing is proven, and that he is a person of integrity. Well, is he or isn't he? OUTA has referred criminal complaints against David Mabuse to the NPA's investigating directorate. We wanted to hear a little bit more about that. Wayne Duvenage, Chief Executive at OUTA, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Very well. Thanks. Nice to be with you.
So let's just talk about that, because of course these rumors have existed for a long time, rumors of alleged corruption, perhaps even of murder, since the time that he was involved in Mpumalanga. But then it kind of went quiet, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Just by the way, the EFF laid criminal charges against David Mabuse in, I think it was 2008. We feature that in this in this document.
Interesting.
They flip flop so much. Yeah. They've got a case against him. And nonetheless, look, this is serious stuff. Where David Mabuse and a number of people, both in government departments and private sector, have been involved in land claim scams for a number of years. It goes back as far as 2002. It's been reported on in the Maverick quite extensively. There's been a book written about it by Rihanna Rousseau called Predator Politics. I mean, if somebody wrote a book like that with damning claims against the deputy president and others, and they don't sue the publishers of that book, you've got to know why they won't, because that would require discovery in court.
Absolutely.
And they would be in trouble. So what we found was that, and there have been six dockets, by the way, six cases that have been opened to the police. All of them have been tampered with. Dockets have gone missing. So that starts to tell you something as well. And long and short is, we've decided as a result of this civil case that has been brought by a very courageous businessman called Fred Daniels, who lost a lot of property and business development in Mpumalanga as a result of all of these activities. He's now in court, and all this evidence of criminality in the civil case is lying there, but nobody's doing anything about it. So this is a few months ago we decided we needed to unpack this and put together an affidavit with all these claims formally, so that it can be handed over to the NPA and they can obviously go and pursue the investigations. They've got to corroborate our evidence. They've got to get, subpoena bank statements, minutes of meetings. There's a lot of work that they can do, but we believe there's enough there for them to go after these individuals.
Do they have the ability to do so?
Well, that's why we get involved. As when we file affidavits, we don't do so flippantly. We get a lot of the evidence. So we spent a long time, as I say, over the last 6 weeks, engaging with the legal team of the Fred Daniels case to gather this evidence, to look at it, to see if there is it's substantive enough. And we believe that it is. And that's why we compiled this 42-page, quite comprehensive affidavit with the links to all the elements and the other documents in court that the authorities need to look at. So I think they do have, they've got to put good investigators on this. This is not a case that you just file with the Budpass police station. It's just going to get lost there. You need expertise here, which is why we did this through this avenue, which is provided through Section 27 of the NPA Act that allows us to go directly to the investigative director. Once they look at it, if they see this as strong enough, they will still open the case formally with the Hawks, but their investigators will be onto it already.
What's interesting, as you're talking, it's fascinating, because I've just realized something, that a trap that perhaps I fall into, and I see that you haven't, which is to still try and politicize all of these things. In other words, the way I tend to think about somebody like David Mabuza, who's the deputy president, is I think I try and consider, is he on the Cyril Ramaphosa side of the ANC, or is he on the Jacob Zuma side? And instead of, and in fact, that's actually a mistake. We've actually got to look at the guy and say, is he corrupt or is he a man of a person of integrity? And that's actually the question. It's actually not about who he aligns with. Of course, it might be important because you've referred to things like dockets disappearing. Now, you need a certain amount of political, very strong political influence in order to do that. But ultimately, it's not a question of a political alignment. It's actually a question of morality and yeah, integrity.
Corruption. Mm. Yeah. So look, some people say that the timing of this looks like is there an agenda, and it isn't at all. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa, there's a case against him with the NPA in a docket, an affidavit filed by Arthur Fraser. If the president is guilty, or if there's substantive evidence in the NPA compiles a case against him and he is in court and found guilty, he must face the music. We've got all these constitutional processes and legal processes that are available to people, and they must be followed. The same thing applies. It has happened, though. No cases of to the PM. All we've done here now, as the political meddling continues internally with this the ruling party, that's neither here nor there for us. Our mandate is to hold people who abuse their positions of power to account, and that's what we've done.
Absolutely, and please keep doing that. Wayne Duvenage, Chief Executive Officer at the Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.